And it's Midday Madness. Every day at midday, you call, you get on. We'll keep taking your calls and put our interviews back until after 1 o'clock. Nick in Mernda's giving us a buzz, 1-300-736-736, if you want to jump on the line. Hello, Nick.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. I think your thinking is probably correct. The AFL's probably already made its decision to go to Queensland, and I'm happy with that. The Queenslanders came through and assisted when we needed them. But just following on from what you were talking about the other day, where if it does, grand final does happen interstate, am I correct in saying, is it the AFL, the MCC or the government that might actually ask for money from another state to have the grand final?
No, what I think they'll do is they'll ask for a renegotiation of their own contract with the AFL and say, well, OK, you're not giving us the grand final this year, even though by rights they could probably still ask for it and say they were going to play it in front of no fans whatsoever. They'll ask for an extension of their deal with the AFL perhaps, or some sort of arrangement where they get more home and away games played at the MCG in the coming seasons as compensation for releasing it from their contract terms.
Okay, all right. Because I thought if they're going to be asking for money, it's like, for example, a wedding venue saying, yep, okay, you can have your wedding here, burns down, sorry, but we're still asking for money. It just didn't seem right. But, yeah, okay. Well, that sort of answers that question. But
It's probably more like Justin Bieber saying to wedding venues, hey, do you want my wedding at your venue? How much you're prepared to pay? So as soon as the MCC release the AFL to go and play it wherever they like, then the AFL can say, you know, who wants to buy Justin Bieber's wedding, in essence. So we'll see whether it does come down to a bid or whether what Queensland's done for us so far has been bid enough. Appreciate your call, though, because there's a couple of things to discuss with Sam Edmund, who joins me on the line after breaking the story earlier today on Gerard Whateley's program about the hub situation with Fremantle heading to Cairns. And the question now that I asked Sam, that I asked you earlier on, does that mean that given the West Coast Eagles are not having to hub at all in this next batch of games, they're being left home while Fremantle isn't, does that mean West Coast Eagles might be facing a hub stay for their finals in Queensland? Sam joins me for a chat. Welcome to you, Sam. Great to have you on.
Dwayne, good to be with you. I didn't take you for a believer. Of all the examples you could have used, you roll with Justin Bieber. I didn't realise this about you. But we learn more about you each and every day, Dwayne. That's what we love.
His live at Madison Square Garden is still one of the great live concerts. So, yeah, if you get a chance to check that out on YouTube or Google it. But in the meantime,
yes.
Where do you think Bieber's wedding's going to be? Where do you think the AFL Grand Final is going to be? And do you think that Perth, the West Coast Eagles, not being asked to hub now means they might be hubbing in our finals period of month?
Well, look, we're all trying to join the dots in this regard, aren't we, yep. Dwayne? No one knows for sure. Probably only a select few inside AFL House actually have the answers to these, and the rest of us are just trying to piece it all together with the facts that have already been given. But I think that would be a fair assumption to make, that West Coast will be playing finals. We know that. We're pretty sure the finals are going to be in Adelaide, Queensland again, joining the dots, and the Gabba the most likely venue for that. Fremantle, mathematically, they can play finals, but are they going to? Probably not. So you would guess that's the methodology behind the decision to send Fremantle and Sydney, who also aren't going to play finals this year, up to Cairns. But having said that, Dwayne, there will be a number of fly-in, fly-out teams that go there. We know that Melbourne are going to play two matches there. Perhaps, West Coast are going to be made to fly there to play a game as well. They certainly won't be playing the remainder of their home and away games in Perth. They know they're going to have to hit the road at some point for a fly-in, fly-out game or games. Maybe it's in Cairns.
Yeah, it's a long journey. I'm not sure how long that... I know it's a private flight, so they can probably sit back and relax because it'll be a chartered flight. But is that 8 hours, is it, from Perth to Cairns? It's a longie. It's going to be tough to fly in and fly out to meet the terms of the playing time of that one. Yeah, interesting thought that the West Coast Eagles might be forced to fly there.
Question without notice for you, Dwayne, though. Have West Coast played Fremantle yet?
Yes. Yeah, they had their derby earlier this year.
Right,
yeah, so that's done. So they won't be playing them up there. And they wouldn't throw away a 40,000 or 30,000 crowd just to play that derby up there. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do, the AFL. I'm glad you've got a couple of little sneaky previews as to the next batch of games. Anything else to add since you threw that out there this morning?
Yeah, well, having said that, West Coast probably won't go there at all because they've already played Sydney, so that would be
Oh, they have.
unlikely
That's
on
true.
both fronts. But strange that Sydney and Fremantle are playing each other in a week's time, aren't they? And they're going to be hubbing together, if you like, even if they will be coming and going. There'll be a third transition hub as well, Dwayne, right on the eve of the finals. In fact, from September 1, set up for players at clubs in finals contention. So the clubs were told yesterday that the league would provide this final olive branch for the players to join the game in Queensland. Who knows? Gillon McLachlan could be on this flight as well. You've got to get the chief up there too, mind you. So this is for the likes of Gary Ablett, of course, and any other players, Shane Edwards at Richmond, who still has to get up there as well. So they'll quarantine for the 14 days. We know that probably at the Mercure Hotel, which is hosting the wives and partners at the moment, but they'll be permitted to train in isolation without coming into contact with teammates. So this will almost certainly be the door opening for Gary Ablett to return to the fold. He's engaged, he's keen, he's been training really hard, Dwayne, at an otherwise deserted GMHBA stadium. So this is the avenue for the players to get back into the competition before the door is shut.
And did Andrew Wellington earlier on with Gerard Whateley give a bit of a boost to WA and SA by saying that the Gabba might not be able to have a full capacity for the grand final anyway? Here's Andrew Wellington from earlier today.
Not sure about a full Gabba, but I think certainly that you would be able to have a significantly greater crowd than what we're currently allowed.
There you go. So does that help Perth and Adelaide?
Well, not really, I don't think, because Perth aren't offering that either, and neither are Adelaide at the moment. In fact, Perth, not only are they not offering it, they've still got their border restrictions set up. So that's a double negative against them, isn't it? I think if the AFL were presented with a scenario, Dwayne, where, and who can make guarantees at the moment, but if they knew they could get 60,000 at Optus, the borders were open. Geez, it makes it almost a no-brainer to play the game there, doesn't it? But again, joining the dots, most of the teams are in Queensland. All the officials are flying to Queensland. Queensland's done an amazing thing by the game. It just, again, it looks almost certain to be at the Gabba, doesn't it? Whether it's half full or otherwise.
Yeah, it's well, we'll keep speculating and we'll keep trying to, as you say, join the dots. Anything else to join dots for me before we say farewell to you? Maybe get you on later if there's some breaking stuff.
Well, I'll leave you with a bit of a trade whisper, if you like, Dwayne. Now, Geelong superstar Paddy Dangerfield, he's wooing another former Adelaide teammate to the Cattery. So 12 months after Dangerfield, of course, played matchmaker for Josh Jenkins and the Cats, the Brownlow medalist, well, he's at it again with Brad Crouch, who at 26 is a restricted free agent at season's end. Now, we know he's attracted widespread interest from rival clubs across the competition in the past 12 months. Last year, he was chasing a five-year deal at the Crows while also exploring avenues to leave the club. So like Jenkins, Crouch and Danger remain good mates, and the Cats champs said to have gone into bat for Crouch. So it's understood Geelong have gone, Dwayne, from having a fleeting interest last year, given the Crows asking price on Crouch would have been a high pick or multiple picks, to a much more active interest a year on. And now Richmond, they also last year expressed an interest in Crouch, like most clubs did, let's be honest, before they launched that failed pursuit of Zach Jones. So that Richmond interest, while perhaps not as enthusiastic as the Cats, does remain to some degree. Now Crouch was in talks with the Gold Coast last year. That move failed to materialise, given the Suns were determined to go to the draft. And that just changes everything now, though. The fact that he's a restricted free agent, you know, the decline of Adelaide, the compensation pick that would hold great appeal to the Crows if he got a sizable deal somewhere else, to a strong hand to take to the draft, all goes into the mix, doesn't it?
Great stuff. It does, Sam. And yeah, I reckon we are, and a few texters are backing us up onto something with the Swans and Fremantle, who aren't going to play finals, going to Cairns, and the other teams getting to stay home because they're going to have to hub up maybe in Queensland when the finals come round. Talk to you later on the program. Great to have you. Sam Eben, chief reporter for... Always great to have your company. Love taking your calls, and we'll continue doing that. Sean Higgins a little later on in the program. We'll talk North Melbourne and a few of the bigger issues in the AFL with Sean. And we'll have a chat to Phil Murphy from ESPN over in America. He's stationed just outside of Boston, somewhere between New York and Boston. And we'll have a chat to him about the NFL season. But a little bit of breaking news, and I didn't want to preempt it, but Sam Edmonds got the latest. So he joins me again, SEN Chief Reporter. Welcome back to you, Sam.
Thanks for having me, Dwayne. Yes, you're referring to the Collingwood coach, Nathan Buckley. I don't know about you, but my Twitter feed was awash with this vision of a quote-unquote potential COVID breach post-match or during the match. I'm not even sure when it was. Certainly at one of the breaks at Adelaide Oval against the Crows last night, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners would have seen, and it concerned an alleged handshake with a member of the crowd from the Collingwood coach and what that would mean, obviously, with all the restrictions and the rules in place. Well, I've touched base with the AFL. They've got no issue with it, Dwayne. They say this handshake was, in fact, a fist bump with a familiar face. And while clearly not ideal, Buckley won't have any case to answer. And the league, I think the general feeling in there is they're considering this as a reminder for everyone to be vigilant, perhaps more vigilant, but there'll be no sanction or any case to answer for Nathan Buckley, who just saw a familiar face in the crowd from his days in Adelaide and knew he couldn't give the handshake, but offered the fist bump, which is still not ideal, as I say, but there'll be nothing more serious than a reminder, perhaps, from the league to the clubs today.
So we put this down in the common sense basket, don't we? With the AFL, they could have gone hard at Bucks. He's had the indiscretion 2 weeks ago. But this is probably common sense. I know it's still something he shouldn't have done, but it's pretty much common sense to just give the warning and allow things to continue, isn't it?
No, I think so. I look at it as a common sense decision. Yes, and while Nathan Buckley's transgressed in this area at a more serious nature in recent times, I mean, you look at a few eagle-eyed listeners would have seen Liam Ryan hugging members of the crowd as well recently as well at a game. So there's going to be little instances like this, but I would argue, and I might be in the minority here, but if they're not serious, blatant COVID breaches, then we've got to have a layer of common sense put across these things, don't we, Dwayne?
Yeah, hugging a fan's different to a fist bump, but I'm happy with the warning for the fist bump and we move on. I appreciate you jumping back on to clarify because I didn't want to raise it as it was raised as a handshake on Twitter and with me, but
you can't see it. Yeah, his back is to the camera, so a lot of people assumed it was a handshake by the movement, but he says, Nathan Buckley, that it was a fist bump.
Okay, and there's an investigation in the NRL as well with a thought that there might have been a breach with the Brisbane Broncos. We'll talk to Frank Panisi about that a little bit later on. Great stuff, Sam. Always good to get you on.
Cheers, Dwayne.
Sam Edmund, SEN Chief Reporter. If there's something breaking, we'll get him on to investigate it. As I mentioned, Frank Panisi from the Melbourne Storm to join us a little bit later on to talk all things NRL, Melbourne Storm, and this Brisbane Broncos story. Sean Higgins to join me later on as well. But straight after the break, go to head to the US to talk some NFL. Will their season get up and running? They're planning on trying to get it going without a bubble or a hub. We'll see if they have success. We'll join him next.